Yeah, good afternoon. I really appreciate you give me such a good opportunity to make presentation with you. Originally, the title is not so big, actually. Maybe the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or the Embassy adjusted the title to be much more, so big title. Yeah. Originally, yes, my background is historian. Yeah, my specialization is Chinese diplomatic history. So my life work is interpreting the Chinese diplomatic archives. Yeah, so from the Tsongiyama in the 19th century to the contemporary China. So actually, I am a historian, but today I have to talk on contemporary issues. But as historian, I start my talk from the history. This chart is so interesting, the situation of GDP in this 2000 years. And then the very famous scholar Angus Maddison, he pointed out the statistics of GDP. Yeah, there are so many comments on complement over his Angus Maddison's chart. However, this shows the tendency trend of the GDP. The red color shows the Chinese GDP ratio or the world GDP. Yellow is India. So in the ancient times, GDP of China and India covered most of GDP in the world. Okay. However, the blue shows the USA's and other colors, mostly are the European and Japanese GDP ratio. So it's so clear that in the 18th century or the 19th century, the situation was changed so drastically. Suddenly, the Western countries' GDP covered more than 50%, okay, more than China and India. What is the turning? What's the reason the U.S. and U.S. and other recent countries got much more GDP than the previous days? One reason is that's a technological innovation. Britain, invented the steam engine. Steam engine is a big turning point. This is so-called industrial revolution. We learned that the world history in high school, right? So it's a big point. And after the invent of the steam engine, a series of technological innovation were done by Western countries. This is the basis of the power of Western countries, of the economy and the military, something. However, in this 2 decades, the part of red and the yellow is expanding because China and India has caught up, catch up to the Western countries now. So what's the point? How about the next innovation? From the steam engine to the iPhone, okay? A series of innovation was done by Western countries. How about the next innovation? 5G and IoT and so on. So, for example, Huawei, that company, has so many technologies on 5G. So you say worry about it. This is the discussion between the technology and the hegemony transition. Next one. This chart shows the relationship between economic growth and democratization. Okay. Countries like USA, Japan, South Korea, and so on are in the circle of blue. Yes, to right, the economic growth, the app is democratization. So economic growth leads the democratization. This was the common sense in the world. Okay. So advanced country, democratized. This is the common sense. However, recently the situation is changing. Some country, complete and got the economic growth. However, they are not democratized. Okay, so red circle, the country in the red circle, go to the right hand because of economic growth. However, they are not. going up, just under, not democratized. These are new types. Here, I did not say good or bad on this point. However, the situation is, yes, is that the group of countries and the camps of countries are separated. Okay? Economic growth leads to democracy, but some countries not. Because the economic growth, however, they are not democratized. So China is the representative of the red circle, red camp countries. Yeah, so Western countries' point of view, there are or the new norm, okay? New norm is emerging. This is also the challenging on the norms, I think. So China itself also understands the such situation. So as you know, in 2017, Xi Jinping also said that the China pursue the Chinese own, Chinese way, okay, state national building with socialism and so on. So the Xi Jinping does not say China pursue democratization, no, okay. And also on the international norms, Xi Jinping mentioned the new international relations. 新型国际关系 in Chinese. That's interesting. Western countries has one theory that democratic peace theory. There is some criticism, however, basically, a democratic peace theory is shared by Western country. Okay, if the democratized country increased. Okay, or the expansion of the democratic countries leads the peace in the world. This one is one basic theory in the textbook of international relations in the Western countries. However, Xi Jinping's announcement or statement did not mention this theory. She said Chinese foreign policy is basically based on the economy or the money. And China got the win-win relations with other countries, and win-win relations lead to the partnership, Huobangguanxi in Chinese, and the sphere of the friends, Pengyouquan expand, and also every country got the shared common destiny. This is what Xi Jinping said on international relations. So Xi Jinping, it's so clear that Xi Jinping does not adopt the so-called democratic peace theory. It's so interesting. So China proposed a new norm or a new image of the international norm. It's also, I think, for US's point of view, it's also a challenge, I think. So his speech, okay? Maybe everybody knows this, his speech, Vice President Pence's speech at the October 2018. Yes, he criticized China so strongly, and the content, what kind of criticism that Mr. Pence said, the democracy, technology, intellectual property rights, and human rights, military change, and so on, so many serious problems. So Pence's criticism contained so comprehensive, okay, and also why? Does Pence did such a strong criticism? Actually, if you go to the Washington DC, it's so easy for you to understand the situation, atmosphere. Okay, intellectuals, think tankers, and officials, and politicians, both left and left, right, and conservative, liberal. Most of the intellectuals in Washington DC started criticizing China. It's so amazing. The atmosphere of China changed so strongly last year, maybe. So I asked the think tankers and the scholars and the officials in Washington DC, when did you change, or where did the atmosphere change? But they cannot answer. It's so interesting. And I asked, what's the reason why did you suddenly change the attitude? but they cannot answer. They explain something, but it's not, I cannot understand. It's so interesting. Anyway, Pence's speech, criticized China so widely. However, Pence's speech is just a collection of the voices in Washington, D.C. Yes, so it's interesting. But his atmosphere is somewhat different from Mr. Trump. Trump also criticized China, but however, his point is just a deal, a dealing. Or he proposed some numbers of the tariff and the trade and other intellectual property rights. So Pence's speech is criticized much more than Mr. Trump. So from Chinese point of view, it's interesting. Chinese point of view, Mr. Trump is more easier negotiator for China. Now, so if you went to go to Beijing to talk on this point with the Chinese scholars and officials, they also mentioned that Mr. Trump. Yes, they do not like talk on the Pence's speech, I think. So how to understand the Pence's speech? At first, technology is a key factor of the hegemony tradition of the Pence's speech and the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. So U.S. Congress decides a new law on the defense last year. And the USA, yes, make a lists on the products, yes, to control and manage. So the Japan actually worry about the revival of Comic-Con under the World War. Maybe I don't know you're not, but in Japan there are some voices to worry about the revival of the Comic-Con. Do you remember Comic-Con? Yeah, when the Cold War, yes. Maybe people can understand, but the younger people maybe do not know. And also, this Pence's speech and atmosphere has some characteristics. First, his criticism has some comprehensiveness. Is it comprehensive? Secondly, because the most of Washington, D.C., yes, has consensus to criticize China, so it such a situation, atmosphere will continue for a long time. Yes, somebody said that the campaign, okay, for the election. No. Yeah, I think this situation will be continued. I think. Thirdly, it's possible for USA to require other countries, Five Eyes countries and allies, including Japan, to share such atmosphere or regulation. On the technology, especially on the technology problem. This is the worrying point for Japan. Second worrying point. It's a big problem. It's a big point. And also how to interpret the Pence's speech and Washington's atmosphere. I think there are three kinds of camps in Washington, D.C., I think. First group is about just a conservative group like Peter Navarro. Pence's speech, they say the Pence's speech means the start of Cold War, new Cold War, or decoupling. Okay, conservative groups, yeah, they said that. Secondly, actually, I met with some secretary of Mr. Pence, and somebody in the White House said to me that this is not the Cold War they're starting, but it is the end of the engagement policy, so-called disengagement. Yeah, especially on the trade and the tariff problem. And also sometimes, yes, it looks like the decoupling, just on the technological issues. This is the second camp. Third camp, the liberal think tankers usually said to me that, USA must not reject, and just must not abandon so-called engagement policy. USA has to keep the engagement, however, hard shaping policy, like Department of State, And the liberal think tankers usually pointed out this point. So I think there are 3 points. USA has various in a variety. So it is so difficult for us to interpret the situation. However, I think in my observation, and on my observation, there are 3 camps and mixed. Okay. The conservative Cold War, second is the end of the engagement, third is the hard shape. It is difficult for us to distinguish the decoupling and the disengagement. It's so difficult for me to understand, to distinguish the two parts, okay? So how to how do we evaluate China's foreign policy? Is it so challenging towards existing international norm? Yes, in the Japanese academic society, yes, there is not a controversy, but there is a discussion. Some scholars pointed out Chinese foreign policy was changed in the 2006-2008 at the time, under the Fu Jintao administration. And the Chinese economy was growing up to the third economic power in the world, and China successfully completed the Beijing Olympics in 2008, and the world's economy was the first with the Lehman shock problem, and so on. So China got some confidence itself. So China's foreign policy changed, adjusted its own purpose. Okay, originally some documents indicate so clearly, purpose of Chinese policy was just set on the economic growth, development. However, on 2006-2008, China added something, two words, security and territory. Sorry, security and sovereignty. Yes, so security, sovereignty, economic growth. Yes, China's target, purpose of foreign policy was expanded three spheres, elements. Yes, it's so interesting. However, Hu Jintao, he did not reject the so-called slogan, so-called Tao Guang Yang Hui, is a modest policy. Okay, so some Japanese scholars point out the changes of the Chinese foreign policy at the Hu Jintao period. So they say that Xi Jinping also Xi Jinping's policy is a continuous policy from the Hu Jintao administration. However, the other side, the other scholar pointed out, no, there are so many differences between Hu Jintao and Xi Jinping. They said that Xi Jinping never used Tao Guang Yang Hui, as I said. Tao Guang Yang Hui, that means the importance of the economic growth and the modest stance on the foreign policy. And Xi Jinping adopted much more aggressive policies on the sea, on the island of the South China Sea. Differences between Hu and Xi. And also Xi Jinping proposed the concept of Asia on the security, Xin An Quan Guang. Okay? He said that security in Asia has to be managed by Asian countries, not the USA, Xi Jinping said. And also Xi Jinping, China provides a series of regional common goods under the BRI initiative. So those calls pointed out some evidences to say that. So Xi Jinping's diplomacy is different from Hu Jintao's diplomacy. Which is better? I don't know, both is correct. Yeah, I think. One belt, one road. It's so interesting policy. But in Japan, scholars interpret this as the listening up the previous project by China and the neighborhood countries. Okay, under the Hu Jintao period, China pushed and prompted the so-called neighborhood policy, diplomacy. So China, ASEAN and China, and the SCO, Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and China SAC, and China 16, and so on. There are so many frameworks of the regional or corporation or China plus something. So Xi Jinping combined such regional cooperation frameworks to be a one belt one road. And also there are so many projects on the infrastructure construction. So Xi Jinping collects a series of projects in the Eurasia and Africa to show it is Belt and Road initiative. This is a starting point, I think. However, after the starting of the BRI, yes, Xi Jinping pushed and provides so many a series of international public goods under the BRI, but the starting of it is just a collect of the some China and something regional cooperation framework that Hu Jintao proposed. Also, there are some continuity, but there are some differences between Xi and Hu. That's my opinion. So, and also we have to show one point that it's so easy for advanced country to say the problems, complaints on the Chinese projects, Chinese loans, or the investment, just debt or trap and something. Okay, it's so easy. Understanding of the OECD or DAC standard, Chinese way is different. Okay, however, we have to consider that developing country, really need the Chinese support, Chinese investment, and also Chinese loan, the Chinese investment had some advantages on this point for the developing countries. Last week, I was in Vientiane, Laos, to watch the construction area of the high-speed railway from Kunming to Bangkok. Yeah, they are so hard. Okay, so the manager is Chinese, but the workers are Laos people. And I interviewed with the Laos officials and other politicians. And they really understand the problems of Chinese loan. Okay, they really understand what the debt trap is on. And also they think that Laos burden the 30% money budget for the part of the Laos of the high-speed railway from Kunming to Bangkok. And also Laos does not have enough money to pay the 30%. So China provides a loan to the Laos. And also Laos does not have enough money to pay money for the loans, I know. So Laos has to prepare some guarantee toward the loan. Yes, it's so dangerous. Yes, as everybody said. They also know, however, they have strong complaint toward Japan and other advanced countries. Yes, we know Chinese law has some problem. So Japan, you provide money. They're really sorry, Japan has not enough money. So Laos does not have enough, does not have all alternative instead of China. It's a big problem. So so Malaysia is a great country. So Malaysia can stop the East Coast Railway project and can negotiate with China. However, different country cannot make any negotiation with China. It's a big problem. How to deal with this problem? It's easy for us to say any compliment or something towards the different country. However, we cannot be alternative of China to these countries. Okay, and also how about Chinese diplomacy to challenge the existing norm? Is it right? Okay, it's interesting. On the 2016, it was July, after the judgment of the International Permanent Court about the islands, okay, was a South China Sea, okay, and China was so upset. So Xi, Miss Rice, went to Beijing and meet with Mr. Xi, and Mr. Rice asked Xi Jinping, are you challenging with existing international norm? Xi Jinping answered, no. China would not challenge global norms and rules. But however, we paid attention to the so-called core interests. It is the answer of Xi Jinping. Well, it's no problem. So Ms. Rice back to Washington, D.C. and report to Obama. However, on the same month, in 2016, Ms. Fu Ying, the famous diplomat of China, she made a speech at the Chatham House in Britain. She said there are three kinds of norms, okay, provided by USA in the world. First is the UN, United Nations, and its organization. Second is US security alliance and the world, including the US-Japan alliance. Third is so-called global standard by Western countries, so the Western values. She said, China only accepts part of one, UN and its organization. So US-Japan alliance and the US security alliance and the so-called global standard by the Western countries are rejected by China. So Ms. Rice did not ask the definition of what Xi Jinping said. However, on the same month, okay, Ms. Fu Ying, yes, announced the interpretation of the Xi's phrase. It's so interesting. This is Chinese way. So somebody recognized that, yes, Fu Ying's speech is just show some challenging of China to the international norm. In 2017, at the 19th Congress of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping announced the famous speech for 3.5 hours, a long speech, okay? And talk about the Chinese future until the 1949 and 1950. Yes, in 1949, China will complete the so-called China Dream, okay? And at the time, Xi Jinping proposed a new concept of international order or Chinese image in the future. So as I said, it's only interesting. China got the win-win relations and the partnership, friendship chain, and the common destiny. This series of concepts are based on economic growth, the economy, not democracy. Okay. And also he said, BRI, OBOR, Yidaiyilu, is the one case, good case, or a good experimental case of the new international relations. So, Xinxin Guoji Guanxi, new international relations are the app, the general theory. BRI is the experimental case of the theory. This is Chinese interpretation, it's interesting. Okay, and the Chinese imagination, Chinese dreams, and so on, it's okay. And on the BRI, it's so interesting. As you know, among the Chinese powers, economy is the most efficient power for China. China is the second largest economic power in the world. However, military power is not the second, the third maybe, USA, Russia, and China. So if you check the BRI, it's so clear that economy first. Chinese economy expanded first, reached for long. After the economy, political and the military elements will also expanding. So on this point, Japanese view has problem. Because from Japanese point, because Japan is located at the neighborhood of the China, so we usually feel the pressure from China among territory, from the territory, economy, political, and the politics, and the military. Three elements, with pressure to Japan, because Japan is located near, close to China. However, for example, Morocco in Africa, Morocco people feel the economy only, you know? Because the Chinese military power doesn't does not have the enough strength to reach the Morocco. So if you go to the Turkey to ask the Turkey people, how about the Chinese expansion or military expansion? Oh yes, one naval fleet came Istanbul port in 2017. Okay. If you go to India to ask this point, oh yes, India people, maybe the answer is yes, Chinese expansion has three elements, economy, politics, and military. So this is the point. So in the world, there are many kinds of various observation and perception towards BRI. So this is interesting. So this is a Morocco case. I went to Morocco last year. And Turkey, I went to Turkey to ask the Turkey people last year. And this one is Colombo port of Sri Lanka. Yeah. And also, yes, China has the military base at Djibouti. But nobody can criticize it. What's the reason why China has the basement at Djibouti? Because China, yes, intends to control, manage the pirates of Somalia, and also China is the most biggest, largest, and biggest country to send the PKO, peacekeeping operation, in UN. So China sent the troops to the South Sudan and Mali. So the base is so useful for such a operation. This is Chinese answer. Yeah, that's right. USA and other countries criticize this basement on the point of some facilities are so dangerous and doubtful or something. So basically, China can legitimize the existence of base as Djibouti. And also digital hegemony this problem. This is same as the situation that I said on the case in Laos. Yes, that's right. China provides some digital facilities and digital infrastructures, satellites and Huawei and something. So many Western media said that, yes, so China can collect the intelligences from the Itailu, Wemudbanu areas and from Cambodia and Kenya and so on. It's dangerous. It's a problem. However, if you go to the Kenya, you interview the people, How do you think this the censorship system provided by China is so dangerous? But they no. They answer no. They are actually welcome to the censorship system because after they adopted the censorship system from provided by China, our lives okay, changed to be more safety. It's so difficult for us. Okay. And also Chinese attitude is sometimes it's so flexibility. Yes, undergoing the so-called BRI, China learned something. Okay, China understands the criticism on BRI and improved the way to advance the projects. It's so interesting. As I said, in Laos, the construction of the high-speed railway, yes, the managers are Chinese, however, labor workers are not Chinese, just Laos people, local people. Yeah, China criticized so much at this point. In the previous days, China adjusted a little bit. And also, in facing with the USA's pressure on the trade and the tariff and so on, China also, yes, showed some flexibility. As you know, last June, China held the Central Committee for Foreign Studies, 中央外交委员会. At that time, Xi Jinping used one interesting phrase in Chinese, 大同小异, meaning the China was now facing with a big problem. So China has to concentrate to the one big point, big issue. It's a USA problem. And put aside small issues. These small issues included Japan. Japan, okay? Japan is small, okay? It's right, yeah. So China can accept the obvious visit. Maybe Modi also. So China held the summit between India and China on June. So only the US is big, okay? So things are put aside. So this is even, so on June, China wanted to be against USA. However, after the Pence speech, China maybe adjusted its policy, stronger policy, aggressive policy towards USA. So they are shocked by the Pence speech. So they find two Americas, Pence's America and Trump's America. And also China maybe felt that, Trump's America is better or easier to negotiate. So at the Buenos Aires G20 conference, Xi Jinping met with Mr. Trump and start the negotiation on tariff and trade. Okay, and Trump gave 3 months, okay, to Xi Jinping. It's interesting. Yeah, Abe's visit. Accidentally, Abe's visit was did just after Pence's speech. That was accident. Okay, that was accident. So, at the first week on October last year, yes, Pence made a speech at the Hudson Institute, and Abe visited China on October 22nd, I think. Yeah. But here, I strengthen that. So-called improvement of Sino-Japanese relations was just normalization from minus to zero. That's a normalization. Okay. So actually, the territory problem and the history problem, those crucial problems are not coped with by two countries. Okay. And also, Abe actually required China to hold the top exchanges. Okay. On that year, on 2018, Li Keqiang visited Japan. But however, this is not the bilateral meeting. Li Keqiang visited Japan for the trilateral summit among the South Korea, China, Japan. Okay. This year, Xi Jinping will visit Japan to join the G20. So Japan invited Xi Jinping for bilateral relations. Yeah, so Abe really wants to improve the normal situation to do the normal bilateral top leaders exchange only. Okay. And secondly, Abe provided good condition towards China. On June 2017, Abe suddenly changed his attitude on BRI. Before that point, Abe criticized BRI. However, on June, Abe changed it. How did he change it? Actually, before that point, Abe said, because ABCD, so Abe does not agree on the BRI. However, on that day, Abe said, if China improve ABCD, Japan will support BRI. I do not like you because ABCD. Okay, change to V. If you change ABCD, I will love you. I like you. It is the same, right? However, the atmosphere is different. So at that time, China really welcomed Abe's change. There's a change of the explanation only. However, these 4 points is so interesting. First is openness. Second is transparency. Third is economic balance. Okay. Four is financial ownership. This is the debt trap problem. So those are the symbol, the base of the so-called global standard on the global international investment or loans under the OECD. So Abe provided so poor conditions. It's so interesting. And China was welcomed. And on May last year, Prime Minister Li Keqiang visited Japan to join a trilateral top meeting. And Abe also proposed for condition to Li Keqiang. But Li Keqiang did not answer yes or no. And on October, Abe visited Japan, China, and also proposed these 4 conditions, but Xi Jinping did not say yes or no. Interesting. And also, on the visit of Abe to Beijing at the time, Japan and China signed the start of 52 joint program. joined projects, okay, on environmental transportation and so on, at third country, including Southeast Asia. Okay. Abe proposed four conditions, but she, D and she did not say yes or no, but Japan studied the 52 projects with China at the third country on October. Okay. However, interesting, on October, Abe did not say Japan support BRI. He did not say Japan agree on the BRI. China did not answer yes or no to the Abe's four conditions. It's so ambiguous situation, ambiguous diplomacy between Japan and China. Here's what interesting. This is a chart of the number of public vessels of China to enter the territorial water and the connecting water of the Senkaku Tiaui Islands. Okay. Here, I'd like to say that Abe's visit is basically no relating words, nothing relating to the such a territorial issues. Okay. It was the first time for Chinese public vessels to enter the territorial water of Senkaku Islands was December 8th, 2008. Before that point, no public vessel of China have entered the territorial water of the island. Japanese Coast Guard control them. However, after the September 2012, when Japan changed the position right of the third island of the seven as the Senkaku area, from the private position to the state position. Because third island of the seven islands were possessed by the one individual who lived in the Saitama Prefecture. So, and the conservative politicians had planned to buy the island from the private, one individual to build some facilities on the island. Japan government wants to stop their conservative politicians' activity, so Japan bought it. This is so-called nationalization by Japanese government on the island. Okay, so on that point, after that point, China sent so many, many public vessels to the island. On October last year, Abe visited China. The number of the vessels decreased a little bit, and we are so astonished that the China stopped sending public vessels the territorial issues of the island on last December. The number last December is zero. Why is it a stop? Was it controversy? No, generally, okay, revived. Okay, so many ships enter the territorial water of the island. So there are no changes between before and after Abe's visit. Finally, I'd like to talk about the FYP, Free and Open India Pacific. Okay, Free and Open India Pacific is so sensitive and so difficult for me. First of all, I do not know for FOIP, Free and Open India Pacific concept, strategy, view? I don't know. But as recently, Japanese government decided this is the Free and Open India Pacific view. Maybe view is politically correct, okay? However, Prime Minister Abe announced this view at Kenya, Nairobi. So from Japanese point of view, Eastern Africa is the part, important part of the FOIP, FYP. However, if you ask USA, USA said no. So the region of the FORP has a variety among the USA, Japan, and India, and Australia. And also Japan stressed that, yes, FOIP having some several contents, including not military, the economy, connectivity, and some military and so on. However, USA may be stressed on the military elements. So content is also different, okay? And also the China, maybe actually criticized the FOIP so strongly, FOIP is against the BLI. But Japan said, no. FOIP is not against the BLI. So it's so difficult, okay? So there's also, not flexibility, so there are no definition, okay? And also negotiation is not enough among the Japan, US, and Australia, and others. So this view is now changing so much. But for Japanese point of view, maybe the four conditions proposed by Abe to China is so important, also important for this point. Because if China, okay, accepts the four conditions, it changes to be the shared point between BLI and FYP, FOIP. As you know, accidentally, Abe's visit was done just after the Pence speech. So in Washington, D.C., Abe's role is evaluated by the liberal scholars because Abe's attitude, Abe proposed for conditions, this attitude seemingly is like the engagement policy. So Japan now, maybe accidentally played an interesting role on this point. Japan proposed for conditions to China, and like engagement, and also Japan proposed for conditions of the, yes, shared part between the FOIP and BLI. On this point, I think ASEAN's role is so important. ASEAN is located at center of Pacific and India, and the center between FOIP and BLI. So if ASEAN cooperate with Japan and other countries to share some consensus, like for conditions, is good for US, the confrontation between the US and China. And also if the USA compels us to share the same standards on technology at that time, ASEAN and Japan and the EU, these countries, yes, find a good way or they make a multilateral framework to control technological confrontation or decoupling of the technology between the US and China. So the FOIP and BLI is so challenging for Japan. And this year, Japan is luckily is the chair country of G20. So Japanese officers maybe is eager to put the four conditions under on the statement of the G20 summit, I think. This is my green video of the year. Thank you so much for your cordial attention. I talk on the historical background and the USA's views on China, and the next one is the Chinese foreign policy, where Chinese challenges the existing norm, and about the interpretation of BLI, and also Abe's visit. And finally, I mentioned about the FOIP and the BLI. Thank you so much.